Now, good evening, good evening, good evening. And I know, guys, it's just technically dusk, but we've got to understand also that it is the winter solstice. It is extremely super, I say extremely cold for that matter. But let's, let's just deal with what the winter has to bring. One step, one day at a time. Is what I'd like to put it as, but unfortunately, if you can't feel your feet, then you've got other problems to deal with. Now, in today's discussion here on the Business and Economic Zone, where we find ourselves for this, this first session of this last week of June, that being today, tonight's session, we'll be having an on-air discussion here with Kanjengo. I know you guys have missed him, but we'll have him here on air in terms of where we'll be dissecting. A bit of a land discussion. Now, this is based upon the discussion point coming from one of our articles that we've had on in the Villager e-paper in last week, the one based upon the Land Reform Ministry's rejection of the AR Land Bill proposal. This took place, as we here at Eagle FM would have indicated to you, this took place during the Parliamentary Standing Committee's on Natural Resources, their discussion platform that they had last week. And ultimately, it's based upon that discussion that Kanjengo and I, we will be having a little bit of a tennis match in terms of understanding and dissecting and tearing apart. Well, mostly, he'll be doing that. Now, before we head into the next ad break, and after that, get having Kanjengo on the air, let's just get over some of the basics of what had happened. Now, as mentioned, the land Reform Ministry had rejected a proposal coming from, proposals coming from the Affirmative Repositioning's Land Bill proposal that was submitted in 2019. Now, part of that has to do with the foreign land ownership or foreign nationals in terms of having access to rural land as well, not just the urban but also rural land. Ultimately also being extended in other parts. However, there were also other proposals coming from the AR proposal in terms of where foreign nationals need to be limited in certain aspects. And based on this, a ministry official by the name of, just need to get this gentleman's name here because I've got it here in the literature review open in front of me. The ministry's Pietrus Nangolo, who is part of the Land Reform Department within the ministry, indicated in that public hearing that unfortunately the ministry has, everything that they know what they are in charge of. They know how they can handle their own affairs. Now, he indicated that the current land bill has extensively covered all the issues that have been raised by the affirmative reposition. Remember, this is not about the affirmative repositioning proposal. Kanjengo and I, we will be expanding further into the discussion. And this will be based upon the notion of foreign nationals or foreigners being allowed to come into the rural agricultural processes of the country. And ultimately, since you already have rural, rural platforms available for the foreign nationals to come through in. And that's strictly just based upon the aspect of the last news-making items, which had been that some of the green schemes will be made available. That's now in this month of June. And that's where Kanjengo and I will be taking this from. Now, understand, also in terms of rules of engagement, that's for if you wish to come through here on the studio and also provide some discussion points. You'll have to wait until after we are technically done. I have to apologize now already, ahead of time. But ultimately, we have to get into the discussion point and then, head off into that direction in terms of either taking or fielding some calls from you, our listeners out there. Now, ultimately, heading into our next ad break, just stay tuned as we will start off with a discussion point after that.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811.
Kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruka na maokoko. Tokora sigara. Ninka wa kurugani ya wamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liyeyo wamba zuma wakoko, ndimo kwa nakuma pukuru kumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatu utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes.
Now, coming back from our break right there, and as promised, we head into a discussion. But first, before we do that, let's first welcome Kanjengo back on air, even though it's just via a telephone. Kanjengo, how are you doing?
No, I'm all good, sir, and good evening to you.
Well, I do hope your toes are slightly warmer than mine or your feet. But ultimately, we're here for a different reason. We're here to dissect the discussion point. Mm-hmm. Now, Kanjengo, for tonight's discussion, and this has to do with, and this has always been the big elephant in Namibia's room at any year or at any discussion point or at any junction in our modern day history, has been the question about land. But ultimately, today's discussion is taking a look at the land reform ministry that rejected the AR land proposal. And this is ultimately based upon the avenues that are now being presented to foreigners in terms in dressed up as forms of investment in order to get access to not just rural land, but other kinds of rural land, including the green schemes and now also the discussion point coming through with regards to communal land. First and foremost, you can jump off from there in terms of what your analysis would be from this.
Yeah, all these days I've been fighting to get the bill. I wanted to see the bill myself. And to my surprise, I was actually told that, yes, it's no more available for public discussion. I can only catch it once it goes to Parliament. Mm. And then I asked also the Ministry of Land to say, okay, cool. When did you guys do the public consultation? Because I'm looking at how people are responding to this proposal, and everyone is acting like it's their first time hearing it.
Yeah.
And even if you look at what has been reported in the media, like the funny thing is, like, the traditional authority, every spokesperson is saying, no, we're going to consult each other. We do not approve. Now I'm just sitting like, okay, cool. But these colleagues from the Minister of Agriculture and Land say they consulted. So who did they consult?
Mm.
So that is one of the questions which is ringing in my head, because the response from the traditional authority reported in the media, everyone is saying, no, we were not consulted, or we are going to consult within ourselves and respond. So now they're like, okay, cool. You are talking about communal land, where there are customary laws there on how that land is supposed to be utilized and things like that.
Mm.
And so there is the first question, like, okay, what did the Minister of Agriculture consult? That is the first question. We're not going to answer it here.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Then another funny thing, Dwight, is this. If I'm not mistaken, according to the information I got, the consultation was done around 10 to 12 years ago. I think 2012 or 2010. And I was there like, how? And you are implementing it now 12 years or 10 years ago. Don't you think the aspiration of the country has changed? You consulted me 10 years ago, and you are going to use what I told you 10 years ago to implement now. So there is another big issue that we have, and it's talking to this issue that when it comes to legislation process in our country, is something that we need to look at. I just wanted to highlight that you consulted the people in 2012, 10 years ago, and you are telling, no, we consulted. No, I think we need to do something about that. The aspiration, the needs, and the thinking are not the same. Even at the traditional level, please do not underestimate us and our traditional authorities to say we are thinking the same way. And just to conclude on that, and even the parliamentarian themselves who are going to discuss this bill, on my side, I just feel like they should be ashamed.
Yeah.
Because the bill does not represent the people's aspiration. You cannot consult the people 12 years ago and implement it now. I think also our parliamentarian or whoever is listening, they should be ashamed of themselves to discuss something which the public have no input in. I can say we do not have input in because it has been 10 years.
Yeah. Sorry, Kanjinko, you can continue on that point.
So I don't know what type of institution do we have in our country. Perhaps maybe I'm too young or perhaps I'm just crazy, but I believe if we want to transform things, we cannot implement the thing that we consulted people 10 years ago, especially when it comes to land divide. We can't. Let us just even go to agriculture. If you look at, AgriBank, if you look at the number of projects and initiatives AgriBank came up with in a period of 10 years, look at the DBN. DBN is even now offering loans for agri-value addition. Those are a new aspiration. And if you go to people now to take their land while AgriBank is offering them something, I think they are going to change their mind.
Now, Kanjengo, in that regard, if you and I, we've since we are still engaged in our tertiary, tertiary scaling up in terms of further skills, the basis with regards to feedback or with regards to data, based upon the consultations, the supposed consultations that took place 12 or 10 years back. Is there, you and I know, you need to make discussions on, you need to make decisions on what is new, what is relevant, what has been, what at least can still be applied today. How outdated is it to make use of information that is technically 12 years, almost 15 years old?
I can tell you, I'm living in a state where we are actually being encouraged to use data. And if it's not data, at least use relevant and well-structured or scientifically collected insights or observation. They don't have to be numerical. But we are just saying that when you come to policy making and decision making at such a high level, you should be guided by data and you should be guided by observation that were collected from the affected population.
Yeah.
And at least we should have a time frame or a period to consider such inputs or such observation relevant to be input into a law. And if we do not have such a type of structure in place, is when you are having inputs that were collected 10 years ago and they are being considered. It's because you do not have a structure in place that what type of inputs, how old do they need it to be to be considered as the voice of the people?
Yeah.
Even any person, they will tell you like, I spoke to you yesterday. No, I will tell you that, no, I looked at the number of stock exchange, and the share value of that company went down. I'm not going to pay for that.
Yeah.
That is what I will tell you. But you just spoke to me yesterday. But yes, the market have dramatically changed. And it was just yesterday. So now to have a period of 10 years, and we are pushing a bill, colleagues, to be discussed and to be implemented, which affect the people, the most sensitive thing in this country. I will consider it that, yes, we are literally ignoring the will of the people.
Now, Kanjengo, this one's discussion point obviously stems from the land reform direction. But just 2 months back, we had, or can I say 3 months back, actually, we had the agricultural ministry opening up specific doors to certain green schemes. Now, does this look like we've got two ministries technically working in tandem with regards to this approach in order to try and attract some form of investment? Or, like you and I just now, you know, brought up or brought the attention to, is that the land reform or whoever's discussion point based upon that bill is actually based on information 10 years old. Does this look like there's some sort of a balance or a uniformity in terms of this approach? Because communal land is something different. Agricultural ministry from Kali Schledwein, who in Qatar went and announced, we're going to make available some of the green schemes for the foreign investors or foreigners to come through in. Is this like a trying to have that opportunity? Because I would assume that the green schemes are most of them are based in communal land areas.
Look, and this is one of the key question that I have, Dwight. I'm sorry, maybe if I'm not going to answer a question, but before we even analyze this, I'm asking this question to everyone: we supporting foreigners to go lease our communal land? I'm going to say our communal land because that is the only part I will be able to own land. You can say I'm conflicted or whatever, but this is the reality. I will never afford a place in Windhoek. I'm not going to lie. Maybe things are going to dramatic change in terms of my income, but looking ahead, it will take me maybe 10 years again to keep working to afford a place here. But I have a hope in my village. I have a hope in communal area. So now, removing my emotion and it just be as sober as possible, the question I have for everyone is this. You have around 11 green schemes. If I'm not mistaken, it's more than 15,000 hectares of land, which has been developed. If it's not 15, it's 10,000 or whatever, 10 million, something like that, 10 million to something like that have been already developed into green scheme. And Dwight, 11 green schemes are there. And you are telling me that you want to go make it communal land productive, but you have a Tunda, which is not productive. You have a Kalimbeza, which is not productive. You have a Ripi in the south, which is not productive. You built a new dam, which is surrounded by land, which is actually called the green field, which you haven't developed. And you are telling me that, no, we want to go make a communal land productive. Then I will tell you, what are you smoking? Because if you want to make something productive, go study the Tunda. Tunda have already infrastructure, have the people that are ready. You are coming to me, no, I am realizing that the communal land, they are not using it productively. I wanted the foreigners to go there and make it productive. No, if the foreigners are going to make things productive, take them to Tunda. Do you know that if you go to Oripi is the one which is in the orange there. Some months they don't do this. 7 months they have nothing. They sit around without doing anything. Now my question is this. If we are being realistic and I'm removing any emotional attachment to communal land, there is no way in my sober mind, Dwight, you're going to come to me and tell me that you want to make my small land productive while you have Tunda, one of the biggest green scheme, while you have Kalimbeza, while you have Oripi, which you have infrastructure. And you want to come to my village at Okalo to say, no, I'm going to bring in some people from Dubai here and make your land productive. Where there is no infrastructure, where there is no borehole, where there is no electricity. Let us be sober. Let us have a conversation. That's all I want to initiate. Why are you running from a Tunda which is all the infrastructure to come to my village where there is nothing? Why don't you give them to lease a Tunda if you want the things to be productive? So that is all the question I'm asking, because it was very, very puzzling to me listening to these people from the Ministry of Land, a world director, a world and his team, and they are saying they want to make a communal land productive. Because there are some land in the communal land which are not going to be used productive, and in investment, and employment. I'm like, dude, you have a Tunda, you have a Rippy, you have a Sadi Konkoro, you have a Kalimbeza. You have the whole new dam you built, and until now you could not even afford to buy the land from the people who own it. Mm. And you want to come and let the people in my village where there is nothing.
Yeah.
How are we reasoning, colleagues? What type of research are we doing in this country to inform the decision and the policies we are making?
Yeah.
That is the only question that I have, Dwight. That is, I just want us to open our mind and to sit down and to be crazy enough and to stick to what I said earlier that yes, if we are going to draft the policies, if we are going to make a strategic high-level decision...
Kanjengo, we're quickly heading into that.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Kanjengo, we're back on. Sorry for that. You can continue where you left off.
Yeah. So my point, Dwight, is this. I wonder at the strategic level. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm not insulting my seniors. I'm not insulting all the research team involved. But I'm questioning the integrity and of the research makers in the public in the public sphere.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you this, and this is what I actually wrote or inquired from the Minister of Agriculture. That yes, I really want to sit down in this consultation room. I want to hear from you, colleagues. How did you arrive at making my village productive where there is nothing and not focusing on Tunda, which is infrastructure?
Mm.
And I've been telling you in all these interviews back then when I started writing in 2019 that I remember doing just a simple study that government actually spent around $10 billion in this green scheme.
Mm.
That is already initial investment that's supposed to be deriving a return right now.
Yeah.
And you want to abandon that and come to my village where there is nothing.
Yes.
So now I'm saying that, okay, cool. How do we make policies in this country?
Mm.
How strong is our research?
Mm.
How strong is our consultation? That is my question that I... Sorry.
No problem.
So that is the only part I'm questioning. And this time I'm not questioning the politician. No, I'm questioning actually people with the same maybe capability, even better than me, who have spent years doing this.
Mm.
How did they arrive at this?
Mm.
And this is when I'm saying that what guides our research within the public institutions?
Yeah.
Is it scientific?
Yeah.
Is it scientific enough? And people think when we're talking about scientific, it's only numbers. No. A good qualitative research to guide the information or the decision-making. This is it. And if you did that, yes, we will question you. People like me will talk. But if you come and use your presentation that, yes, these are my findings.
Yeah.
This is the structure of my consultation. And this is the period. But if you come to me and you told me that we did a consultation and a whole meeting in 2010, and now after 12 years, we are implementing it. I will tell you, no. Even in my lecture when I was doing my thesis, told me that I cannot decide a research that was done in the 1950s.
Yeah.
There is a limitation they give us that, no, you cannot go back in the 1950s and tell us that is some empirical study. No, it was an empirical study during the 1950s. But you cannot be in the 2000s and you are using a 1950s study to be an empirical study.
Yeah.
No. And in this particular case, actually, we are using the most sensitive topic or resources. And in my opinion, what we are doing, we are not doing justice to it. And this is something which is going to come back to haunt us, allowing somebody to lease my village for 99 years. And after they are done, they give it to their grandson. Maybe that is emotion, but that is reality. But the point I have as I want to consider myself a bit... to say sober, is the fact that I will not believe somebody who failed to make a Tunda productive to come and make my village productive. And if they are now going to bring in somebody new from somewhere, let them go where we have established a commercial entity which is actually not deriving a return on the investment we have pulled in, is the first asset we will give it.
Now, Kanjengo, that's still staying on that productivity element, because one of the very interesting comments coming from the ministry in that hearing or in that discussion point was they need to improve, or this is part of the food security aspect, or improving on the food security. Can you, because I know you are technically our brain on the agricultural production levels of things. With that, can you kindly assist, you know, why would you want to use the justification for food security for communal land? Especially, like you explained it now, people that have access to their own little piece of land, how is that going to be factored into the bigger picture?
And you know, Dwight, when I saw this, man, I sat down and like, okay, cool. This is what I'm going to do for this consultation. I'm going to give them every number of everything that we produce and everything that we import. And just show people that yes, the 11 green scheme that we have in this country can actually produce everything that we need.
Yeah.
Everything that we import, maybe wheat. Wheat maybe is a bit different because it's a winter crop.
Yeah.
And we don't receive much rain, and maybe we do not have enough irrigation, but it can also be produced. So the question of food security, and I want us to be careful. Everyone now is throwing food security, just for them to push their agenda, to push whatever reasoning. No. The whole 11 green scheme can feed us.
Yeah.
If our own small-scale holder used to feed themselves with the small field that they have, they were able to feed themselves.
Yeah.
So we have already identified the land. And Dwight, if you look at the projects that are being that have been prepared by the Minister of Agriculture and NIPDB on agriculture, they are just the new one to be developed. You will ask like, okay, cool. Do we have really issue with land in Namibia in terms of commercial? No, the whole Nekatel Dam land is not even developed.
Yeah.
So my question is now, you are there looking for people to occupy this land. And you are here telling us that you also want to go further in the communal land. What happened to the land surrounding Nekatel Dam? What happened to the land in the south, which is underutilized, which has actually already been identified to be commercial? So if you want to solve food security, make sure that the RIPI produce to capacity.
Yeah.
Make sure that you find capital to develop land surrounding the Nekatel Dam and develop it. So now are you now going to tell me, I'm telling you this, I want you to go to Kavango, I want you to go to Omaheka, I want you to go to Omsati and to Osana to see the field that we have, or our grazing land that we have. And you go compare it to the land which has been demarcated for commercial use already, the green scheme.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, cool. How are you going to take more from this small space compared to that land around the Nekatel Dam? So why are you coming here then if you have that whole land of Nekatel? So you'll be standing there puzzled like, what research did you do? What type of food insecurity are you solving if you have a whole green scheme that is land, water, electricity, infrastructure, pumps, and you're not producing anything in it? So how are you going to come here when there is no underground water, when there is no river, when there is no electricity, and you tell us that you're going to make this land productive? Even if you are going to come from America with 10 billion, water and electricity in the Namibian type of farming are going to eat you up. And if you go deeper in Omsati, in Osana, in Oangwena, where maybe the rivers are very far, the cost outlay of to do something commercial within those deeper places compared to Kavango, where the rivers are, is going to be crazy.
Exactly.
You are already crying about not the electricity in Kavango, where you were close to a river, and you want to come where there is no river, and you're telling me there is a land you're going to make productive. Dwight, No emotion. I just want us to paint the picture. Mm. And the question the people who do research in our public institution and advise our politician. And as I say, this time I'm not blaming any politician. This time I'm focused on the people who did the research to advise this Minister of Land. And you know what? I'm a fan of Tate Kale. I love Tate Kale's work. Mm. But in this regard, I really, really want him to do a better presentation to me. And as I said, no matter how we are going to come from the world, electricity and water in farming are going to be crucial.
They are. Now sorry, Kanjengo, you were still busy.
And I can tell you this. One of my background is investment. It's returns. Mm. It's assessing whether you're going to make money on a project or not. Mm. And there is no way in my sober mind I'm going to advise you to go and set up a farm in my village compared to Karimbeza, which is closer to the river. There is no way in this world.
Mm.
Because I know you are going to fail.
Mm.
You are going to fail. And actually, you can put me in prison because I am the worst advisor.
Mm.
But oh well.
Now, here's what we also have to look at, Kanjengo. This is not the first time that this land reform ministry had also been, you know, by the same committee, indicated that their evidence or their argument based upon the proposal that was submitted is, you know, was satisfactory. Because on another occasion, back in 2019, the same committee told them, listen, your points just don't make sense. This could potentially feed into the aspect in terms of how old the data or the information was or the research was that they did, like you indicated, plus minus 10 years. However, if we've got to look at this discussion, that the whole decision, because according to one of the executives from the ministry, the whole discussion supposedly has to lie with the ministry itself, that the ministry sounds like is they are like the last decision-making entity with regards to this. With regards to that, and we're now still talking about communal land in this regard, Kanjengo, is it right to keep just at one entity to allow them to have the overall say? I know there is this whole situation about how we having a constitution, everything is based upon a constitution or the powers that are derived from the constitution. But communal land is one of those last vestiges of land where Namibians, like you said, that cannot own properties in like an urban setting like Windhoek or one of the other towns around the country, have an opportunity to have access to land, to empower themselves in some way or another. And the decision, you don't know whether this decision might go in your way or not, still would lie with the ministry. What kind of a prospect, what kind of a worry or a concern does that pose to someone that lives in a communal area or that has assets in a communal area?
To me, this is a threat in terms of land, in terms of inequality.
Yeah.
Well, do you know why I'm saying that? And yeah. I'm going to reference them. There was a study which was done by the UNDP together with National Planning, which did, what is this one? Multidimensional poverty.
Yeah.
And when we talk about inequality, I keep telling people this. In Namibia, the top component where inequality is land.
Yeah.
Meaning that in terms of land here, it's only on the few individuals. And to make it even worse, the commercial one, the beautiful land, is what is owned by the few.
Mm.
And if we go ahead with this proposal, we're going to make this inequality worse.
Yeah.
Because you're going to give the same people from Germany who own most of the beautiful land, because they have the money, they are still going to lease my village for 99 years.
Mm.
That is what they're literally going to do.
And in between, you know, you don't know if your generations after you will have access to that same land because someone else is leasing it for 100 years.
It's 100 years soon. And remember, for me to be able to lease that land after they are gone, I need land to make money so I can accumulate and be able to have money to lease the land.
Yeah.
So meaning for me to generate and gain money to have to buy the land, I need the land that they gave away.
Yeah.
So we are going to make this land inequality even worse. If we are going actually to encroach this, whatever we are calling FDI, investment in communal land. No. And I'm ready to stand and listen to these colleagues. It's not about power that is mostly just on Minister of Land. No. If their research team are able to convince the Namibian public that you going to Okamata Party and give it to some guy from Switzerland to lease it for 100 years is going to make Okamata Party land more productive, while you can't do the same thing with Kalimbeza, then we will let them do whatever they want. So that is just my that is just my whole point. I'm in the kitchen.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Kanjenga, we're back, and just where you left off.
So my point is this. I know there is this vibe. I'm gonna call it a vibe. I'm gonna call it a new vibe, a new smoke. You know, Dwight. In 1990, when we got independence, we were forced to adopt this strategy of looking outward to get investment. Yeah, investment, export, extract and sell.
Yeah,
then we adopt. Then we started to mind. We started to be a bit wise. We have realized that we've been just extracting and sending people our raw material without value addition. Yeah, then we started to come up with document. Yeah, add value. We created agronomic board. We created the beneficiation strategy. We created this thing that we call, what is this thing that whenever the local farmers produce enough, we close the border. All those activities emanated from our sober state. When we have realized that FDI, or foreign direct investment, that comes just to extract without adding value, is doomed to fail.
Yeah.
And now it's back again. I'm sorry.
No problem.
And now it's back again with FDI. And if we are not going to be smart about it, this is how far we are going to tell our grandmother to move because they were putting a green scheme for somebody from Germany, while we have land which we have already demarcated, and the commercial land. And wait, before I forget, we have land which is owned by absent landlords.
Yeah, that's the other point I also wanted to add in.
So then why don't we go to these people? They are not utilizing the land. They are not even living here. Why don't we go take that land and give it to whoever want to do agriculture from Dubai or from wherever? So that is when I'm saying that we now need this comparison to be done, a public presentation that, yes, we can go. And you know the people who own the land that are not here, the Russian and the German. So let the Minister of Land come and tell us that, okay, the land which is owned by the Russian and the German that are not here is not good for agriculture, so we can't take it. Who told you it's not good for agriculture? You are saying that it's foreign investment who are going to come, and they are too smart. They can utilize any bad land in our village where there is no water and no electricity. Let them give them that. So why can't you give them such a land? Buy that land from them and give it to the foreign direct investors. So those are some of the explanation that I seek. And I will prefer every Namibian who is concerned with this new vibe of FDI to question some of the decisions being made by our leaders. And more specifically, their research team in the public institution needed to be strengthened. They need to be strengthened because right now they can't. And Dwight, as much as I love that we have public relations guys and PR, some of these issues, when this question are being raised, give us the research guy, Woody. Don't send Kanjengo. Kanjengo is just a guy. send us the research guy. So we ask the question. So we tell the public that, yeah, we can't give the land that the German that are not here own. Mm. We can only give you a village because of this and this. Mm. We want to know that. And again, people have been questioning that you built a dam that you're not utilizing.
Mm.
And they spend months without even answering this question. And they come back to tell us they want our village. You are sitting with Necatel Dam where you have no crew.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Kanjengo, I'm gonna ask you a gambling question, like I always do with you. I like asking this gambling question. And this is based upon urban versus rural land. In terms of where would you, and I'm not just asking for your, you know, analysis about this, is it safer to have FDI in an urban setting where most of your economic activity can be concentrated? Jobs, services, companies, you know, rent, all those kinds of ecosystem-based economic structures, or rural land? Because I just see rural land one of two things. It's either agriculture or it's mining in one or other form. It has to be extractive in one or other form. And they don't actually, those two industries itself, although they're being big, they don't actually directly indicate towards any direct benefits that people can, you know, generate perhaps from. Which would be best, FDI in an urban setting or FDI in a rural setting?
Okay. So, like, we have already structured our agricultural land within the communal land. We did so well to demarcate places that we have serviced, that we have structured, so for commercial use to happen within communal. And those are the green scheme that we made. That is one of the smartest thing that we did. And we say that the rest of the land, let the people, let our people, let our small scale colleagues be able to build their house, be able to do their small scale farming. That is what we did. So yes, FDI can go to communal, but it have to be structured in a different way, like what we did with Green Scheme. Dwight, let me tell you this. There is a reason why we call it communal. It's a reason why we call it communal. That's why you can't come to my village and you fence off a lake. Then you're telling me that, okay, if you want to drink water, come and work for me. And when you work for me, I pay you, then you buy the water.
But it's everyone's water technically.
It's supposed to be communal. Meaning that everyone can derive benefit from the utilization of this resource. Communal, and that was one of the best thing we could come up with. Because in a village setting, in our traditional setting, wealth is differently distributed. And to ensure that not a lot of people are left out, like in an urban setting, like in Windhoek, where the rest of you poor people, you stay where I stay. No, in a communal area, the probability of everyone getting rich is almost the same. If we are going to use the resource, the tree belong to everyone. The lake belong to everyone. So if you're going to be creative and use the water and you make some money, it's good. Because all of us, we have equal access to the grazing and to the water. Now, if you come and say, we're going to bring in somebody from Dubai or Germany or Russia, we are going to give them this lake. The rest of you, 20,000 people, come and work for him because they are going to create employment. You made us dependent on somebody. We were never dependent. I had my 5 goats. The other one had their 10 chickens. The other one had their 2 cattle. And we were utilizing the land. And we were independent. And this is what I keep telling people. This is going to sound bad. Everyone say, under Hage, under Pwamba. People say, no, these two presidents are very bad. This is my very, very stupid analysis I keep telling people. No. These two presidents are not bad then at the same. No. It's just that during that time, the people from the north and the people from Kavango and the people from Zambezi and the people from Kunene, they used to receive plenty of rainfall. They used to produce their own food. So they didn't need at the same to give them food from government coffers. No. But when Tate Pwamba came and Tate Hage came, the drought also came. The people were not receiving enough rain. So now they started to depend on government. And it's the same analogy I'm going to use here, that If you dump your FDI to take our lake and to take our grazing land, you are literally sending us to dependent government. Now 100%. Because if I do not have the skill for this FDI guy to employ me, where am I going to work? And, you have removed the grazing land.
And on top of that, they would perhaps also facilitate some sort of a tax-based system, meaning people living in an area, in a communal area, might also be paying some form of a tax because that guy is now generating supposed wealth, meaning people are being paid salaries and stuff like that. So there are potentially other knock-on impacts still being envisioned.
Definitely, because I'm leasing this place for 99 years. I'm paying rent to your government. So it moved from communal to property right.
Yeah.
It moved to the capitalism type of system where property rights are respected, where people are going to have claim on a piece of land which was supposed for a common good. And maybe that we are even going deeper there. The elephant in the room is people who are convincing us that they want to make that communal land productive, bring in a foreign guy to come and invest there. So what I'm saying is that until we reach a certain point where the whole land demarcated to benefit from the million cubic dam that you built, until you have attracted the investors and they fill that land and they are producing to capacity, until you have done that, don't go to Kavango looking for more land. Don't go to Zambezi looking for more land. Don't go to Kunene or to Omaeke or to Tuzundupa looking for more land until you have utilized the assets at your disposal. There is a logical explanation. Until they have done that, until they have attracted the investors to Kalimbeza, which is lying idle, until they have done it to Mashare, where part of Mashare is producing, until they have attracted FDI to Etunda and is producing at capacity, where they can convince the guys, we need more food. The land we have demarcated cannot produce enough. Until they have done that, then they should not come to the villages where the common ownership exists, where people have a chance to own a small farm and a grazing area. Until they can convince us that, for now, they can just deal with the asset that they are at their disposal, the land which they have already acquired.
Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, before we, before our next 4 minutes, because we're almost close to today's end or the end of today's program, for the next 4 minutes, in terms of just balancing up this aspect, because another elephant that you also already mentioned was the absent landowners in terms of the private farms. That's now, if we have to use the red line as our sort of like distinction barrier, some of the land absent landowners in terms of on these private farms have also in most cases always become a political thorn in the flesh. With regards to that, do you think it's more like a deflection that's taking place? Because zoning in on the communal land, which is way smaller than the private farms in the rest of the country, way smaller than that, is it perhaps trying to give up what the government can have access to?
And this is what I'm saying, that I think I'm going to, I used to call that maybe I'm the only coward. I've realized that all of us are economic cowards. The whole of Namibian people are economic coward. We have a lot of educated people. And we are letting this slide. If government really, really have good interest, they should go to the absent landowners and get the land.
Yeah.
They should start from there. And Dwight, you can tell me, no, Kanjengo, you are being emotional. No. This is logical. As you mentioned, that we have absent landowners that exist. And you want to bypass them, drive from here into go the whole of Okahanj and other beautiful farmers, then go as far as my village. And you say, no, your land is unproductive. You left unproductive land where people don't live in.
Yeah.
So if we can bring emotional logic, I'm ready for this conversation. And this is what I'm calling, like, every Namibian people. Most of these colleagues are even educated and they know better. How are we being challenged? How are we being dumb to policies like this? We needed the research team of Minister of Land. Let them do a public presentation. Let them do a public presentation to tell us, why are you going to the communal land?
Yeah.
Why are you jumping absent land? Why are you leaving Nekatel Dam? Why are you leaving my south where people actually don't have jobs?
Mm.
But they have plenty of land and they have a lot of dams. And you know what, Dwight? It's so funny, man. The south unemployment is high also, but they have the dams. They are the one with the dams in this country.
Exactly, exactly.
So they can actually irrigate all year.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, we want to go deeper in the south to the community. Leaving the land which is next to the dam and go again deeper in the community. Like, it doesn't make sense. You haven't developed the land along the heart of them. Now you want to go further from the dam to the community there to take their land, leaving the land which is next to the dam. How does this work?
Kanjengo, we could be stepping into another ad. Just hold on.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Kanjengo, just coming back from that break, that brings us up to the end. Any last words that you wanted to add before we sign off?
I'm challenging Namibian scholars, man. I'm challenging all these smart fellas and let them come to the space. So people like me who don't know much will step aside. All of us, we came from the village. And in this particular point, I am going to be arrogant as much as possible. You can't tell me that you want to give land in communal land area for 99 years to a foreign investor. You have a Windhoek here. Are you done with Windhoek? If you have a housing problem in Windhoek, if you want to attract investors, bring them to Windhoek where there are no houses.
Yeah.
So you are running so far from Windhoek where investment is needed to go take people at my village. So I'm challenging Namibian scholars and academic and experts. Let us challenge the Minister of Land Research to come up with this so that this bill does not get to be discussed. Not at all. Minister of Trade was sent back due to the Investment Promotion Act, for them to go do a job, a good job. Let us send back the Minister of Land and Agriculture to go do proper consultation. We should send them, this one, we should not even send them back. No, we should take something and, like, let them run back. They consult. We cannot agree on a consultation that we had done on 2010 for a law to be passed and to be discussed in 2022. Colleagues, no. So it's a challenge to all of you educated people and communal land. I know you live in Windhoek, but there are people that cannot afford to live in Windhoek. And we do not even want them to come here because they have a place where they can stay and make their own economic activities. And this is one way to stand up for them. We have plenty of commercial demarcated land, which is actually lying idle, that need investment. So let us channel the investment there.
Exactly.
So those are my few. I mean, they are not even few. Those are my lot of jakataka takataka. Yes. Thank you so much, Dwight.
No problem. And once again, Kanjengo, thank you once again for, you know, having this discussion here with us tonight. Obviously, I'm still booking you for tomorrow night.
Yeah, but tomorrow, how about tomorrow night?
Yeah.
If there are two or three people that were listening, let them come. Let them come through to challenge and to correct me and to polish or to denounce what I said. Give them an opportunity. I'll be listening. Let them come through if there are two or four people that are listening. Let us have this conversation.
Exactly. And on that note, Kanjengo, thank you once again and enjoy your night.
Thank you, Dwight. Have a good night.
And the matriarch says she's sending her regards to you.
Oh, man, I'm waiting from them deep in my ghetto somewhere. Anyway, Dwight is very cold here.
All right, see you again.
Please, please, guys, work hard. Don't live in an allocated iron. It's very, very cold.
No problem. No problem. See you, cheers.
And on that note, dear ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, brings me to the end of this evening's Business and Economic Zone. The matriarch is here looking at a cell phone, wondering when I'm going to finish. On that note, let's see each other again. Same time, same place tomorrow. That is either on the Brand Conversation or and later tomorrow evening on the Business and Economic Zone. Stay tuned for the matriarch and her pulling the heartstrings.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.